23. Psalm 23, please. Appreciate that good singing. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Psalm 23. I'm glad one day I will. Not a doubt in my mind about it. Amen. Psalm 23. And if you're willing and you're physically able, will you join us by standing as we honor and reverence the Word of God this morning. Psalm 23, if you're willing and physically able, we'll stand. And I won't preach long this morning, but I just want to give you just a thought God's put on my heart this week and try to be a blessing to you. Amen. Psalm 23, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You would add Your richest blessing to the reading of Your Word today. Thank You, Lord, for the good Spirit of God we already feel in this place. Thank You, Lord, for that good breeze this morning. Lord, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, You would cleanse us of sin. You'd empty us of self, fill us with Thy Spirit. Help us to say what You want said today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Psalm 23 is probably the most popular psalms of the 150 psalms that we have in the canon of Scripture. It is, one writer said, it is a psalm for all people. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, this psalm is for you. Boy, I thank God that we have this psalm. One writer said that Psalm 23 is the John 3:16 of the New Old Testament. Boy, I was studying and praying this week, and God got me in this psalm and got me splashing around in it, and I don't know how long I'll be in it, but I know I'm supposed to be in here today. We find that Psalm 23 is, of course, located between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. In Psalm 22, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. That Psalm 22 clearly is a picture and a prophecy of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 24 portrays the Lord Jesus as the chief shepherd. Psalm 24 talks about that King of glory. But between those two mountaintops of prophecy, you got a valley in Psalm 23. And that's where we find that Jesus is the great shepherd. One writer said that many who live wicked lives can quote this psalm. If you mention the Bible to a drunken man, he may start to quote Psalm 23. Good people know it. Godly people know it. Children know it. The aged know it. But with all the memorizing of it, I wonder if we really know it. There was an actor one time and who was performing a play before a group of people, and he got up and he quoted the 23rd Psalm with such expression, eloquence, feeling, and action. The people, when he got done quoting the Psalm, began to stand up and applaud. But then an old preacher was asked to quote the psalm, and he stood up and he quoted the psalm, but nobody clapped and nobody cheered. One man said, "What is the difference?" The actor replied, "Well, I know the psalm, but that preacher knows the shepherd." And I want to say, I'm glad I know the psalm this morning, but I'm glad that I know the shepherd. One writer said that this psalm meets everybody's need. It doesn't matter what your need is, it meets the need. And I want to look at it this morning and try to draw some truths out of it. You can divide this psalm up into two sections. You can take verses 1, 2, and 3 and verses 4, 5, and 6 and divide them right in half. In verse 1, 2, and 3, the picture is a sheep sticking his head through the fence telling another sheep about the shepherd. You notice all the, "He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." But then verses 4, 5, and 6, it's the sheep talking to the shepherd. For he said, "Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." And can I say there's two testimonies in that psalm. There is a testimony of the sheep testifying to another sheep about the shepherd. But then there's a testimony of the sheep just testifying to the shepherd. And I want to look at some things this morning. Here's the part I'm going to deal with. I want to deal with verse number one, and I'm not even going to deal with the whole verse. I want to deal with this phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not even going to get to that. I shall not want. You have to come back tonight for that one. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. As I study this week, I see there's three things in that statement, and I'll be done. Number one, we see that He is prominent. Notice the Bible said, the Lord. I'm glad it didn't say Allah, it didn't say Buddha, it didn't say Joseph Smith, it didn't even say Isaiah or one of the prophets, but it said, the Lord is my shepherd. And can I say this morning, that word thee, I'm not an English major, but I do know that word thee is a definite article. And I do know that the word Lord is capitalized. I'm glad He is Lord today, man. We see two things about this. Number one, we see His authority. This Lord means one possessing supreme power and authority. The Bible said in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 2:36 said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. Somebody said, have you made Him Lord? You can't make Him Lord. He's already Lord. The Bible said that He is King of kings and that He is Lord of lords. What does that phrase, what does that word Lord mean? Well, first of all, it means that He is self-existent. In other words, He never had a beginning and He'll never have an end. The Bible said, in the beginning, God. You see, before there was a beginning, there was a God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John put it like this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I'm glad this morning that I know who that is talking about. For that same Lord who is self-existent is the one who lives in my soul. That is a five-year-old boy come by my way and save me by the grace of God and birth me into His family. I want to say I'm glad I know Him this morning. He is self-existent. I love quoting Dr. S.M. Lockridge on this. I do it all the time, but I never get tired of it. He said, God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere onto the platform of nothing, and He spoke a world into existence. And the reason that God came from nowhere is because there was nowhere for Him to come from. And coming from nowhere, He stood on nothing. And the reason He stood on nothing is because there was nowhere for Him to stand. And standing on nothing, He reached out where there was nowhere and caught something where there was nothing to catch. And He hung something on nothing, and He told it to stay there. Then standing on nothing, He took the hammer of His own will, and He struck the anvil of His omnipotence, and the sparks flew. And He caught the sparks from the tips of His fingers, and flung them into space, and decked the stars with the heavens with the stars. And nobody said a word. And the reason nobody said a word is there wasn't nobody around to say anything. So God said it was good. I want to say the same God that flung the stars out into the heavens, told the sun where to shine, told the moon where to stay, took His finger and traced the courses for the rivers. The one who's the all-creating God is the same one who is my shepherd this morning. And I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. This Lord means He's self-existent, but then it means He's eternal. It means He don't have an ending. He don't have a beginning. Has it ever occurred to you that before there was anything, there was a God? Now we have a hard time wrapping our minds around that. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. One writer said that could be the greatest verse in the Bible. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what if it only said Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today? We could shout about that. We could shout about it if it said Jesus Christ the same yesterday. But I'm telling you, we can shout about that verse because it doesn't matter what day, if it's a good day or a bad day, He's still the same. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I change not. People change, problems change. God knows politicians change, but Jesus never changes. He is eternal. He is self-existent. But then that word Lord means He's an expert. He gives the idea, it doesn't matter what field or what thing you bring before Him, He is an expert. I'm glad He's not burdened, He's not baffled, and He does not make a blunder. So we see the authority. But then secondly, can I say quickly, we see the assurance. The Lord is. Somebody said, are we going to go word by word through this psalm? We might before it's over, amen. I believe every word of God is pure. I don't believe there's a word in there by accident, amen. And I'm glad it didn't say the Lord was my shepherd. And I'm glad it didn't say the Lord shall be my shepherd. But David said, well, I'm writing this right now. The Lord is my shepherd. And can I say, it doesn't matter where you're at right now. If you're saved by the grace of God, God is. And you fill in the blank. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The Bible said in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I'm glad we serve a God who is. There's an old preacher that preached years ago on the isness of God. Somebody said, that ain't good English. It's good preaching, praise God. He is. And I'm telling you, we have that assurance. Here's what the Hebrew writer called it. He called it an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I'm telling you, in this world, we're blown around. The winds are blowing. The waves are crashing. But I'm telling you, we have an anchor of the soul in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what happens today or tomorrow. The Lord is. He is God, and He'll forever be God. He was not elected to be God. He did not campaign to be God. He did not see if He could buy some votes to be God. Nobody ever went to an election booth and elected Him to be God, but He's always been God. He always will be God, and a billion, billion, trillion years from now, He'll still be God. So we see He is prominent. The Lord is. Secondly, we see He is personal. The Lord is my shepherd. He's personal. Can I say this? Knowing the shepherd is a wonderful Bible truth, but knowing that the Lord is my shepherd is a wonderful and blessed truth. This shows me two things. Number one, it shows me, and this is real deep, but this, the Lord is my shepherd, means two things. Number one, it means, first of all, I belong to Him. Did you get that? I know that was deep. It means I belong to Him. Now, I got to state, the Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye the Lord, that He is God, that He it is He that made it, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So that means that we belong to Him. Now, I got to studying about how does a shepherd get sheep. There are three ways. Don't you like how God makes it three things? Amen. You know it's got to be God if He's got 3 points. Amen. There are three ways. Number one, a shepherd gets sheep, first of all, when they're born in the family. You didn't get that. When they're born into the flock. When they're born into the family. You see, if that shepherd already has a mama lamb and a daddy lamb, and they have a baby lamb, that by birth, that little lamb now belongs to the shepherd. And Jesus looked at the best that religion had to offer and say, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And can I say this? I'm glad I've been born again. I'm glad I've been birthed into the family of God. I'm glad to know I was born in this thing. I ain't going to be long, but a sheep gets born into a family. But another way a sheep gets put in a family, not only can it be born, it can be bought. There's a shepherd wanting to get him a flock together, wanting to get him a herd of sheep together. So he'll go to the auction block. He don't have no sheep. And so he'll see one up on the platform. They'll be bidding for that thing. And something in his heart begins to stir. He said, that's the one I want. And it doesn't matter. By the way, the sheep don't have to pay the price at the auction. The shepherd come well prepared to pay the price that was due on that little lamb. And all that little lamb has to do is stand there while the bidding's going on. And all of a sudden, the good shepherd will always outbid the hireling. Did you hear that? The good shepherd will always outbid the hireling. Because the hireling is just in it for himself. But the good shepherd's in it for the sheep. He paid the price.
He doesn't matter what he had to pay. He loved that lamb so much, he was willing to pay it, so he paid the price. And then he goes and he gets that little lamb and he takes him home. Well, glory, one day I was on the auction block of sin. There was a price tag on my soul and everybody was trying to send me to hell. But I'm glad Jesus Christ came to the auction block of sin. He didn't pull out a credit card. He didn't pull out a checkbook. He didn't pull out his wallet. But he pulled out his own blood and he paid the price once and for all. He was not outbidded, praise God. In fact, when he pulled his blood out, all bids ceased. It was over after that. Because could nobody match that price? Could nobody match that? Is that why the songwriter said he sought me and he bought me? That word redeem means to buy off the auction block. Boy, I'm glad he purchased me. So you can be born, you can be bought. And I had to work on the alliteration on this one. But you can be brought. Shepherd's out in the field watching his sheep. And all of a sudden he sees a lamb that's not his. But he's out there wandering alone in the wilderness. He has no family. He has no shepherd. He has nobody. There's something in that shepherd's heart can't let him go out there. Somebody said, I need some Bible for that. Oh, I got some. The Bible said in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. See what that good shepherd will do? He'll go and take that sheep and bring it into his fold as it was his. I was doing some studying this week and I heard a story about a farmer who had a great herd of sheep, a shepherd, and had a mother, two mothers that was expecting sheep, baby lambs. One delivered the lamb, and it was dead. The other mother delivered the lamb lived, but the mother died. So he had a dead baby and a dead mama, and the lamb that lived, if it didn't get some nourishment, it was going to die. So he said, well, I'll take that little lamb and take it to the one who lost the lamb and he can feed off of her. But that lamb shunned him because she knew that wasn't hers. That little lamb was about to starve because that mama lamb, she knew that wasn't hers. So she shunned him, wouldn't feed him. So that old shepherd got to thinking. He went and got that dead lamb and skinned him, cut the skin off that lamb. Went and got that little lamb that his mama died. Took that skin and wrapped it around him and took it to that mama lamb, and she began to sniff and she recognized it. And she accepted him and she raised him, and he drank. He couldn't come the way he was. So he had to get the covering from one who was accepted. I wish I had somebody. I could not come to God on my own righteousness. And so Christ imputed his righteousness to me. And now because I have the imputed righteousness of Christ, I can therefore come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, that I can find grace to help in a time of need. I have been accepted, praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. That means I belong to him. But secondly, I hope you'll get this one. That means he belongs to me. Now, I told you it was going to be deep. That my shepherd means I belong to him, but it also means that he belongs to me. I want to say I'm glad that I'm his and he is mine. I want to say he is my personal savior. He is my personal shepherd. Because he belongs to me, I enjoy his presence. I enjoy his protection. I enjoy his provision. I'm glad I'm a part of his family. Well, glory. So, the Lord is my shepherd. We see he is prominent. The Lord is my shepherd. We see he is personal. But last of all, and I told you I don't preach long. The Lord is my shepherd. We see he is passionate. We see, and consider this truth to its fullest extent about this shepherd. I was trying to study this out and I decided I'd just go preach Jesus' outline. Because Jesus gave a pretty good discourse on the shepherd in John chapter 10. You're welcome to turn there with me this morning. John chapter 10. Jesus begins to give a dialogue and a discourse on the shepherd. He'll say four things about the shepherd in these verses. First of all, John chapter 10, verse number 3. He says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Look at verse 5. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So here's the first thing that shepherd does. Number one, he gathers the sheep. Well, how does he gather them? He calls them by their name. And they won't follow a voice of a stranger, because my sheep know my voice. Brother Joe Arthur, some of y'all know him, and he was my preacher when I was growing up. He told it. I've told this here before, but I'm gonna tell it again. I've only lived once, and I only have so many life experiences. All right, but he said he was preaching for a pastor who was an actual shepherd up in, I think it was in Virginia area years ago, probably in the 90s. And he said we was having supper at the pastor's house before revival meeting that night, and the preacher said, "Come on out here on the porch, and I'm gonna call my sheep in to feed them." And just out in the country. And he said, "Preacher, why don't you call them sheep up here?" And Brother Joe said, "Well, I'd never called sheep before." He said, "I know if you had a dog," he said, "here, doggy, doggy." He said, "If you had a cat," he said, "here, kitty, kitty." He said, "So I said, here, sheepy, sheepy." He said, "I hollered, I yelled, I called for them sheep." He said, "They didn't even pick their heads up." He said, "But that preacher said, watch this, Brother Joe." He done a little call with his voice, and every one of their heads jumped up and come to the trough. Brother Joe said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, you're the voice of the stranger." He said, "But I'm the one that's been feeding them. I'm the one that's been protecting them. I'm the one that's been watching them. I'm the one who's here in the midnight hour. So they know my voice." And can I say this? I'm glad I know his voice this morning. And I'm glad we can recognize him through the, I've never heard his audible voice, but flipping through that Bible, I've heard him speak to me in my heart. Thank God I know his voice. But not only do I know his voice, but he knows my name. He's got a name for all of them. You know, and I've gave this before, but you know, there's trillions and trillions of stars in outer space. And the Bible says in Psalm 147:4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. So that tells me that every star you see in heaven, God's got a name for that star. And you know what God said about all those stars concerning creation, Brother Sanford, in the book of Genesis? I mean, all those trillions of stars. When he's talking about creating, you know what he said about them? He made the stars also. And that's all he said about it. You would think with all those trillions of stars, he would have said a whole lot more about it. So he did a little bit the rest of the Bible. That's all he said at creation. But you know what he does? He takes over 12 to 13 chapters to tell you about Abraham. He'll go from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50 to tell you about Joseph. And John Phillips said, "That tells me that God is more interested in sons, S-O-N-S, than he is stars. He's more interested in Christians than he is consolations." Amen. You see, if he knows all the stars' names, he must know my name, praise God. So he gathers the sheep. Then secondly, look at John 3 and 4. The Bible said, look at verse 4. "And he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them." So not only does he gather the sheep, but he guides the sheep. Now, don't miss the simplicity in this. The Bible said, he goeth before them. You know what that means? It means he's out front. It means he's out front leading the pack. Now, I'm glad because I don't know where I'm going. I live on a GPS. Son, I can't find the kitchen sometimes without a GPS. I'm just telling you. I mean, I live on, people say, "Well, if you go down here, go due north 12 miles and turn left on highway." No. Give me an address, I'll meet you there. I'll find it, all right? I'm terrible at directions. Terrible at it. So I'm glad this thing is not based on me to lead myself through this world, because I'd be in a mess. But that going before him also not only gives the idea of leadership, but gives the idea of protection. Nothing can get to that flock that don't go through the shepherd first. No predator, no storm, no nothing gets to those sheep that don't go through the shepherd first. May I remind you, whatever you're going through this morning, it had to go by Jesus first. Had to go by Him first. So He gathers the sheep. He guides the sheep. John 10 verse 11. John 10 verse, boy, it's a pretty Bible. John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Well, He's good to the sheep.
Amen. Oh, yes, He is.
So I said, well, I was wanting something deep. Honey, you can't get no deeper than that. He's good to them. Takes care of them. In fact, they said a good shepherd would sing to his sheep. That's why they said David played that was so good on that music, sitting out there in them shepherd's fields singing to them sheep. And I wonder if he's keeping those sheep. He says, man, you know what? I'm a shepherd of these sheep. That's kind of like the Lord is to me. So he is right. The Lord is my shepherd. You ever had God sing to your heart? Mother Dean McNeese taught me years ago, said, son, if you'll sing to the Lord will sing the song to the people. Singing and making melody to your heart and to the Lord. You ever had God just sing to you? Soothe your troubled spirit. He guides the sheep. He gathers the sheep. He's good to the sheep. But last of all, last part of John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Notice this now. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. I'm done. Brother Mike, come get your guitar and come get set up on that. I asked him to sing a song special for the invitation. Made him learn it pretty quick. That's payback for all those years my daddy done that to me on Saturday nights. In the Old Testament, Brother Lane, them shepherds would have to raise a lamb and bring to the altar. And that lamb would die for the shepherd. So the sins of God's people would be put off for another year. But in the New Testament, it's not the sheep dying for the shepherd, but the shepherd dies for the sheep. Because he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm glad on Calvary that day he gave his life for the sheep so I could live. But he just didn't give his life. You keep reading John 10. Down there in verse number 17, 18, he said, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. He said, I'm going to give my life for the sheep, but early on resurrection morning, I'm getting up. And one day, I'm going to call them all home. Now, I'm probably going to give, if I preach this series, I'm probably going to give this illustration about 10 times. So you might as well get used to it. Brother Dean talks about when they was in Albania, one of their recent trips, and they still have shepherds over there, and they still have flocks. And they said that, so they was riding down the road, and they come across a shepherd that was leading his flock, and they was making a crossing. They was at a little bridge, and he was making a crossing, and they stopped the van, hundreds of sheep, he said. They said, we got out and gave that shepherd a Bible and going to talk to him, and he said, what are you doing? He said, it's the end of the day. He said, I'm getting my flock home. He said, where are you headed? He said, we see that house up there? That's my father's house. True story. He said, that's where we're headed. And he said, we're just making the crossing right here. And Brother Dean said, that shepherd stood there at that crossing with that staff in his hand while every little lamb made the crossing. Some of them having a little trouble. He'd take that staff, and we'll look at that more, and help them across the crossing. Brother Dean said there was one black sheep. There was a literal black sheep. He was the last one over. And the shepherd stood there for the last one. And well, it doesn't matter how bad we've been, if the Lord is our shepherd and we've accepted Him as our personal Savior, He will see us through. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. He said the ones up at the top, he said there's so many sheep, he said some of them got to the top of the hill, for the ones down in the valley did. He said they began to buy back down to the hill. Almost encourage them, keep on walking. Amen. Home's not that far away.
Right.
I'm glad we're headed out of here. Amen. Amen. This is going to be the invitation. Brother Mike, I want you to listen to the words of this song. If God touches your heart, you move these altars. I'm glad the Lord is my shepherd. I want you to listen to these words.
He's